Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I am James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. In a digital world, it'd be easy to forget there's a large group of people that are not digital. We've got that story plus another major ruling against fluoride in the water. But first, those dastardly Iranians have struck without any other context. Iran fires at least 180 missiles into Israel as a region-wide conflict grows. World War III countdown commence. Iran launched at least 180 missiles into Israel this past Tuesday, the latest in a series of rapidly escalating attacks between Israel and Iran and its Arab allies that threatens to push the Middle East closer to a region-wide war. Iran said the barrage was retaliation for a series of devastating blows Israel had landed in recent weeks against the Iran-backed militant group Hezbollah in Lebanon, which has been firing rockets into Israel since the Gaza War began, the most recent iteration. Earlier Tuesday, Israel launched what it had said was a ground incursion into southern Lebanon. Israel scrambled for bomb shelters, with the irony not lost on them as air raid sirens sounded and the orange glow of missiles streaked across the night sky. Israeli military spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari said the country's air defenses intercepted many of the incoming Iranian missiles, though some landed in central and southern Israel. Israel's National Rescue Service said two people were lightly wounded by shrapnel. In the West Bank, Palestinian officials said a Palestinian man was killed by a missile that fell near the town of Jericho. I guess the walls collapsed on him, though it wasn't clear where the attack originated. Netanyahu vowed to retaliate against Iran, which he had said made a big mistake and will pay for it. Thankfully, of course, Team America is there to back up their well-funded ally. U.S. will ensure Iran faces severe consequences for attacking Israel. That one comes from antiwar.com, and a lot of great work coming from antiwar.com. Senator Graham calls for U.S. to strike Iranian oil sites in response to attack on Israel, says half-dead Congress critter, you know, the one that glitches out on camera all the time now. But whatever did those poor, innocent Israelis do to deserve this other than being the only democracy in the Middle East? Oh, that's right. Israel confirms its ground invasion of Lebanon has begun. That one's from activistpost.com. Israeli airstrikes in Lebanon kill at least 55 in 24 hours. Israel kills 23 more Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Israeli strikes kill 6, including TV anchor, around the Syrian capital of Damascus. So obviously this is adding more and more pieces onto the board. And as for Team America, imagine our shock. The U.S. privately encouraged Israel to escalate in Lebanon. Politico reports that U.S. officials Brett McGurk and Amos Hochstein, an IDF veteran, told Israeli officials they agreed with the plan to escalate. And some of the latest we have for you, again, because, of course, as James will probably reiterate, fast-moving story. We're taping this on October 2nd to me here in the States, early morning October 3rd to him in Japan. Fast-moving story as ever. Israel said mulling attacks on Iran rigs and nuclear sites in response to missile attack, and Israelis leave shelters after Iranian attack of 180 ballistic missiles. IDF says they are preparing to hit back, and wouldn't you know it, it's Rosh Hashanah. James.
Yes, thank you for that. You read my mind. Exactly as you were saying that, I was thinking, well, I've said this once before, but it bears repeating. Yes, we are recording this, of course, 24 hours before people start hearing it. So whatever the latest information is will not be available to us. So fill it in with the last 24 hours of headlines. But I will throw in a couple of other headlines just to flesh this story out a little bit as it stands here. For example, the hard-hitting tabloid journalists at The Sun. How artificial intelligence and space missiles saved Israel from carnage after Iran unleashed missile blitz, which even for The Sun is a bit of an unusual article because it takes the narrative tack of would Britain have been able to survive this Iranian missile strike? And it concludes, no, Britain would not have been able to survive, but Israel did. Why? Because they have all the highest tech gadgetry, like the Arrow 2 and Arrow 3 anti-ballistic missile systems, which can shoot down missiles in outer space. And oh yeah, two U.S. naval destroyers sitting there helping them out, which may be an important part of the equation. Yeah, imagine our shock that Uncle Sam is 100% in Israel's corner. I am shocked, absolutely. But, and don't worry, guys, Biden's going to tamp things down here. Biden doesn't want Israeli retaliatory strike on Iranian nuclear sites. So consider it not done, right? They're definitely going to listen to Weekend at Biden's and take their marching orders from him. Oh, wait, they're going to continue doing whatever they want, and America's going to continue supporting it 100%, no matter which side of the phony left-right aisle you vote for in November. Have fun, Americans. Anyway, this is the state of things as it sits as we're recording this. It is a moving story. I know we're talking about this pretty much every week now, but it's kind of a big deal, and I think people should have their eyes on this.
Even though it's been a little bit since we have produced a New World Next Week episode, yes, this has just, we could have taped one yesterday and it would still just be the escalation of what's going on in the Middle East. Oh, yeah, and of course, another trillion to Israel and Ukraine. Sorry about all those hurricane folks here in America. You know, my last boyfriend, he had a real kroner comprehension problem, James. Norway strengthens right to pay in cash. From October 1st, consumers in Norway should start to see less friction when trying to pay with cash. Norway is seen by many as a cashless society with credit cards and VIPs widely used. V-I-P-P-S. Let's put a pin in that and wonder what that is. However, I can guess what it might be. Studies suggest that as many as 600,000 Norwegians are not comfortable with digital solutions for various reasons. In modern Norway, it's easy to forget that many people prefer using cash. For instance, since Norway's new banknotes were introduced, the writer of this article has barely handled them. I have a few banknotes stashed away for emergencies, but I rarely carry any with me. Personally, I use debit credit card, Apple Pay, and Norway's mobile payment system, Vipps. Thank you for that extra context, depending on the scenario. The government believes that people uncomfortable with the digital solutions must have the same opportunity to pay as everyone else, which is, you know, what we point out here in the States. See, it says legal tender on this bill. You have to accept it in America. However, in recent years, some outlets have begun to refuse to accept cash. And of course, all of this was accelerated by the great scamdemic. As such, the government has taken concrete steps to ensure that the right to pay with cash is strengthened. Back in June, the Norwegian parliament passed the government's proposal for amendments to the Financial Agreements Act. The changes strengthen consumers' right to pay with cash and will make the rules easier to understand and practice for both customers and businesses. The king hath declared in the Council of State that the changes will take effect yesterday, October 1st, 2024. In a digital world, it can be easy to forget there's a large group of people who are not digital, said Minister of Justice and Public Security Emil Enger Mehl. She also highlighted the importance of cash for Norway's preparedness. Paying with cash in Norway should be easier from now on. James, this might be a slightly wonky translated kind of article, maybe not English as first language, which I can't say anything because that's my only language. The fact that the rules in the Financial Agreements Act are becoming clearer and easier to practice is something that many have requested for a long time. I am pleased that the majority in the Storting, I assume that's their Congress, their parliament, clearly supported our proposal to strengthen the right to pay with cash. She added, people should be confident that they can pay when they go to a store or a restaurant or hairdresser or for vegetable lasagna. James. A lot of Seinfeld references.
Yeah, what does it say that I immediately got that reference? Yeah. Anyway, well, it just so happens I am perfectly fluent in Norwegian. Yeah, hervonti magen. So I can attest to the accurate translation of this. Well, okay, not really. But anyway, you get the gist. And I think this story is hopeful. It's a good story for once. Yay. Not unmitigated good news. No, I think this is just straightforward good news. And I hope to see more of this in the future. And this is the type of thing that is so commonsensical that, honestly, there is no possible establishment propaganda line on this that will stick. And I say this advisedly because this topic has come up for me in recent conversations, multiple different disconnected conversations in real life with real people. I'm not talking about online chat here. Yeah, some of them, of course, in the conspiracy realist orbit. So, you know, maybe not the most unbiased sample, but some complete normies and people who don't think about this type of thing. And every single person I've talked to, I haven't seen one that is like, yay, cashless payments. We should go all cashless for everything. What could go wrong? No, everyone I have talked to says, no, that's a bad idea. If for no other reason than the inevitable power outage or network disruption or whatever, what do you do in an emergency situation? At the very, very least, yes, we should still have cash backup systems for that, right? And that's the type of basic bottom line common sense that I think the vast, vast, vast majority of the public is on board with. And even for the people who are like, no, I want to pay cashless for everything all the time, I don't think they're the type of people who would say, and you shouldn't be able to pay cash ever. Who would say that other than a bankster? So this is one of those issues that I think there is enough overwhelming consensus on this issue that it should be possible to overcome, even just on the life preservation side of things for politicians. You know, we have to at least pretend to go along with what the public wants. This seems like an easy victory for any politician pretending to lead a parade. So yes, let's push forward on this and use Norway as an example. Now Norway can be, okay, guys, you saw what happened there. Let's make it happen here. I think this is a good story.
James, is still mostly cash here in New Mexico. I've kind of, you know, will occasionally apprise you of my adventures of using cash around America. One of my previous flights, actually, in 2023, buying one beer at the, you know, airport bar. Oh, not many people use cash. And she couldn't even get me my correct change back. Now, I would have tipped all that extra change anyway. But yeah, I was like, this is not even the amount of change. Yeah. People will kind of skip past it and go, oh, la, 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 I think it's okay. That was not in New Mexico. But it is, cash is still king here in New Mexico. And James, really, I mean, we used mostly cash in Japan with you in 2019, when I think about it, because we weren't, of course, going to make a habit of, oh, go to the ATM, I'll go to the ATM. We converted, I think, a lot when we were there at customs getting out of the international airport.
Yeah, so in 2019, in Japan, yes, but in 2024, not so much because, well, yes, it's still mostly cash, but there's definitely a cashless push that's going on in Japan and more people are paying with cards and stuff. So it is changing here. And I, not this past week, but a recent trip to Tokyo, I went into a cafe, ordered my breakfast and went to pay for it. And they said, oh, no cash here. And I have never, ever seen that in Japan. So that was truly shocking to me. And I just had to, okay, well, I guess that's it. And I just turned around and walked out. Yeah. So it is changing here in Japan, unfortunately.
And is that a result of the scamdemic?
I think scamdemic is a good cover for it, but it's clearly something that was taking place anyway.
Okay. Well, and we've seen our buddy Brock's international adventures roll into a restaurant and the server is a robot. So it is 2024 indeed, and this is New World Next Week, episode 566. Sorry we hadn't made an episode for you in a little bit. We'll make it up for you right here. Judge orders EPA to address potential risks of fluoride in drinking water. After, of course, a long summer of drinking all that sunscreen to protect your skin, a federal judge in California on September 25th ordered the Air Safe to Breathe at Ground Zero Environmental Protection Agency, the hated EPA, to strengthen its rules around fluoride in drinking water, writing that the compound could pose a risk to children's intellectual development. In an 80-page ruling, U.S. District Judge Edward Chin in San Francisco noted that while it's not certain that the amount of fluoride that is typically added to drinking water can lower the IQ in children, he concluded that new research suggests that it might pose such a risk. In August, the federal National Toxicology Program found there's a link between higher amounts of fluoride exposure and a lower IQ in children, potentially upending the long-standing practice of adding it to tap water to, what are we saying, prevent tooth decay. The agency based its conclusion on studies involving fluoride levels at about twice the level of recommended for the drinking water. So, of course, critics can say, this is double. No one would ever have this much water. And, of course, they never talk about you being in your shower and your pores opening up and getting all that into your body that way as well. On September 24th, Chin sided with several advocacy groups that filed a lawsuit against the EPA, which had argued that it wasn't clear what effect fluoride exposure might have at lower levels. However, the federal agency is required to make sure that there's a margin between the hazard level and the exposure level. If there is an insufficient margin, then the chemical poses a risk, he wrote. Simply put, the risk to health at exposure levels in the United States drinking water is sufficiently higher to trigger regulatory response by the EPA, under federal law, according to Chin. He said that scientific literature in the record provides a high level of certainty that a hazard is present and that fluoride is associated with reduced IQ, according to study after study after study of "you're crazy." After 7 years of pursuing legal action, let's give it up to the Fluoride Action Network. They have won their lawsuit against the EPA as it stands right now. EPA must reduce fluoride's IQ risk to children, the court says. I'll include a couple of other links there, one to our good friends at decensored.news and one from Bloomberg Law. So the normies are having to talk about this. Some other health-related relateds I covered recently on my morning show. U.S. government-funded private social network attacking pesticide critics. And new U.S. study says cancer risk from pesticides is equivalent to smoking those dirty, dirty cigarettes. James, another ruling against drinking sunscreen.
Nice summary. Yes, exactly. And what nice retroactive vindication for all those people who, like me, have had conversations with people in the past. I remember vividly having a conversation with a coworker, it must have been 12 years ago or something, trying to explain to them, you know, drinking fluoride actually isn't the most effective way of preventing tooth decay, let alone all of the possible neurotoxic effects of fluoride. And I remember she looked at me as if I was literally insane. Like, what are you even, how can you possibly, anyway. Here we are, and yes, another good story, at the very least, because who would have thought in the completely controlled judicial system that they would have even gone this far? Now, what happens as a result of that? Well, some good things have already started to happen as a result of this, so let's see if we can push that through. I will just throw in a couple of things for further context. First, the press release from the Fluoride Action Network. Federal court rules that water fluoridation poses an unreasonable risk to children, which goes through the ruling and its implications. But also from Children's Health Defense, House of Cards, some cities hit pause on water fluoridation in wake of historic federal ruling. So, and they go through three municipalities that have already halted water fluoridation because of this ruling. And hopefully that's just the tip of the iceberg. Obviously a moving story, so we'll continue to cover it. I hope to talk to Michael Connett again of the Fluoride Action Network, or the litigation for the Fluoride Action Network, about this story. And for people who are interested, in the comment section of CorbettReport.com, specifically at this point in the September open thread, Corbett Report member Home Remedy Supply has been leaving a lot of links to various articles about this and keeping abreast of the latest. So yes, keep your eyes peeled for this. This is an important ruling. I think it will have some effect, and we will see how much the EPA can push back against this, but I'm sure they're going to try.
Home Remedy Supply is a good dude. He's a Media Monarchy supporter as well. James, isn't it the amazing power of the state? And unfortunately, our parents, I think, are pretty hardcore in this. If it's illegal, it is bad and immoral, and I won't even deign to think about it for a moment. But once that magic yoke of the state is removed, they'll kind of go, wait, so you're saying we can't do this now? And they still, being good little status, immediately will then turn the spigot off because they're saying, now wait, the state says this might not be good. It is an interesting, interesting times indeed. James, newworldnextweek.com is a way to support both of our works. It's got t-shirts, it's got DVDs, it's got media, it's got digital downloads. And speaking of t-shirts, it has those brand new Corbett Report logo shirts that I showed off on the previous New World Next Week episode as I'm showing off my new American flag Arctic Monkeys t-shirt. This is not available on the store. But those shirts are live, the new Corbett Report logo, and again, they look good. The new logo, James, has a nice little kind of ding to it. And yes, you will even have your own American-style baseball caps coming soon with the new Corbett Report logo as well. So if you want to head over to newworldnextweek.com, you can sign up, make an account. We will email you when new items become available. We do not bug you. We maybe don't email you enough about newworldnextweek.com, and I always want to remind folks and get you to come over. I play the exclusive unpublished audio of these New World Next Week episodes. James, I was doing the math when you were talking about it. It's usually a 24-hour delay. I can get it to you in about 15 hours. Media Monarchy listeners will hear the exclusive New World Next Week audio maybe only about 15 hours later. I play it after my Thursday morning show, and that's around 10 a.m. here Mountain Time And people can find all that at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. James, you were just lurking around in the Media Monarchy members only Discord the other day, because we've got actually kind of a special event coming up. You are going to join us for my month-long horror film festival. More information about that coming soon. But basically, long story short, we're going to play that new Netflix documentary about Danny Casolaro and the Octopus Murders, and my buddy James Corbett is going to join us there in the members-only Media Monarchy community. That's coming up on October 17th. But James, were you kind of impressed by the Discord community?
Yes, I have studiously avoided Discord for the entirety of its existence, because that seems like some, you know, that's for young people. I don't know. I'm an old man. But yeah, it was impressive. There's a lot going on there. And there's a lot of, it's impressively broken down into different channels with different chats on different topics and things. So yeah, a very good resource for people. And I think people would enjoy it if they got into it. So I hope they will check into that. We'll have more info on this as it's coming to fruition, right?
Absolutely. Again, long story short, you have people that ask you, hey, why don't you have a chat and a stream and all these different whizbag things? And we kind of have all that stuff in the medium.
That's exactly right. Yeah. People always want me to start a forum or start some chat thing or something. I ain't doing that. But James has already done that. So go over there, become a Media Monarchy member and join his chat. And I think you will benefit from that. And also, this would be a good opportunity to answer those several people that emailed me to say, why have you and James had a falling out? Why are you not talking to each other ever again? Why will there never be another edition of New World next week? Confirmed. It might be a good time to remind those folks that there is such a thing as MediaMonarchy.com/calendar. Where you can see if we are due to be recording or not recording a New World next week on a week-by-week basis. And I'm sure sometimes it may be off, but at any rate, you get a sense of, oh, they're going to be back on next week, for example. But I know, unfortunately, the very people who need to hear that are the very people who have already tuned out. I don't need to hear all the stuff at the end. So, oh, well, I guess you'll never know when a New World next week is being recorded. But if you were one of those people who said, I love New World next week. I miss it so much. Why aren't you guys doing it ever again? You could actually, I don't know, sign up to support, become a member of Corbett Report and Media Monarchy and support our work. If you value it enough that you notice its absence, maybe you should help support and make it possible. That's all I'm going to say, because I noticed some of those people who emailed me were not members. So you might want to check into that. Anyway, I'll just leave it there. James, anything else?
Well, we could hide all the good important info here at the end of this episode. But no, that's something I've been imploring people a lot more lately. Please go double check your subscription. Oh, I'm totally a Media Monarchy member. Your payment hasn't gone through in 17 months. Go double check that it's still working. I'm not saying you're a financial deadbeat. I'm saying Patreon and Subscribestar are terrible at letting the creator know when their patrons have glitched out. So again, if this is important to you, if the work resonates with you, James, since the last we've talked, Media Monarchy cracked its 19th anniversary. If you find it valuable to your life, helping us out would really help us out. James, that's all we can say.
Happy 19th anniversary, by the way.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. All right. Take care, man. And see you again next week.
Cheers.